from NPR News. This is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Filmmaker Ridley Scott has entered uncharted territory, at least for him. His new movie does not involve the future, an alien, or Roman gladiators. It's called Matchstick Men, the story of an obsessive-compulsive con artist, a real neat freak, who unexpectedly finds himself playing dad.
You're a con man?
Con artist. Flim-flam man, matchstick man, loser, whatever you want to call it, take your pick.
And that guy, Frank?
He's my partner, my, protege.
Teach me something.
What?
Teach me something, a con.
You're funny.
No, come on, really, teach me something.
I'm not teaching you anything.
Scott says the transition from action and epic to comedy wasn't much of a leap for him.
You know, I'm a little bit like a pool ball. I like to bounce around, and as it comes, I'm ready for it. I feel a bit like a basketball player, waiting for the ball.
Give us your sort of 10-cent synopsis of this story.
It's about two con men, and one of them has a condition, and his condition is psychological, which is driven by his guilt. His daughter, that he never knew he had, enters his life and changes that.
And this character, Roy, played by Nicolas Cage, mm-hmm. suffers from what appears to be obsessive-compulsive disorder. And it looks like he has a little bit of Tourette's also, with some mm-hmm. of the sort of tics mm-hmm. and affectations that we see. Nicolas Cage is known for playing these sort of offbeat, eccentric characters. What kind of direction did you give him to sort of create a character, a unique character in this time?
You know, I see myself as it's a bit of a sculptor. I watch, and then little by little I adjust and make suggestions, and sometimes little, sometimes large, because I think from a director's point of view, the director should be able to stand back and be pragmatic. You look at everything in broad strokes and then address the minutiae. You've got to go in where to hit the minutiae, saying, what about this, what about that?
And that's so interesting when you're talking about Nicolas Cage, because he acts in such big, broad strokes. How do you mm-hmm. make sure that he goes right up to the edge but doesn't go over it?
You just say, a little less, Nick. What do you think, too much? He says, what do you mean, too much? I said, I don't know. Let's cover one with a little less.
Look, Doc, I spent last Tuesday watching fibers on my carpet. And the whole time I was watching my carpet, I was worrying that I might vomit. And the whole time I was thinking, I'm a grown man. I should know what goes on in my head. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I should just blow my brains out and end it all. But then I thought, if I thought more about blowing my brains out, I started worrying about what that was going to do to my damn carpet. Okay? So, that was a good day, Doc. And I just want you to give me some pills and let me get on with my life.
I was fascinated by the way you used sort of production and editing techniques to sort of create or to visualize mm-hmm. his psychological problems.
I don't like jumpy, cutty things, unless it's absolutely necessary. But I think in this instance, you know, sometimes the episode of a man standing at the sink, washing his hands and then drying his hands, it sounds like it's going to be dull and boring. But I shot it that way anyway, knowing then you can slip a cut in or two, which starts to, it speeds up the process, but B, it encompasses everything. And most importantly of all, I think it starts to indicate to you that this might be humorous.
And the film had this, it was a very very California look with all of this, mm-hmm. the sort of golden tones and mm-hmm. the hissing of summer lawns, and there's mm-hmm. sprinklers going all the time, and the dappled reflection from the pool. Everything looked so sort of calm and serene, which was at odds with what was going on in inside Roy's head.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you noticed that, because I figured when he hits the outside, the exterior world for Roy actually is the enemy. And therefore, everything is slightly heightened. So when he steps out of what you'd call his inner sanctum, his house is a peaceful place. His house is his protection.
And his daughter, mm-hmm. a very strong performance from a relative newcomer. How difficult was it to find that character, to find the right person to play that role?
You know, you always think that kids are going to be the hard thing to find. But in fact, to be honest, we found three very interesting girls, but I think Alison was head and shoulders above the rest, you know, because when I met with her, she came in, and I had no idea at the time. In fact, she was 22.
Alison Lohman. We're talking about Alison Lohman, the young lady who plays Angela, Nicolas Cage's daughter in the film. Sure. She's actually 22.
Yeah. That I think enhances even further how clever she is as a performer.
Oh, because she was 14 in that film. Anyone who's ever lived with a 14-year-old girl will recognize that.
She walked in with that little hairstyle when I first met her, and with those funny little pigtails. And I think she'd really studied somebody that she knew. Maybe a cousin, I think it was.
Where have you been?
Nowhere.
Okay. Where'd you go?
I just went to the arcade. It's like a half a mile away. It's stuffy in here. This place smells like Lysol.
Where the hell were you? I want to know right now, or I'm calling your mother.
I just told you I went to the arcade.
What? Why'd you sneak back in?
That's how I left. I didn't have the keys to lock the door.
So you didn't see my car.
Jeez, you're worse than Mom.
Angela, listen, I'm glad
I mentioned this earlier, the sort of climate, the environment you created in the film. It had sort of a very hot temperature. How did you achieve that?
You know, the film was originally written for Philadelphia and Fort Lauderdale, and I said to the guys, why Fort Lauderdale? I mean, I've filmed there, and I mean, much to everyone, Fort Lauderdale, it's a truly wonderful place, but it's hotter than hell. And more humid, and also Philly. There was no absolute connective tissue as to why it should be in those places. And I wanted to, for once, be in Los Angeles. So I said to them, can I shoot in Los Angeles? And if I can, we're on. And they said, yeah, but where? And I said, well, the valley is a very visual place. And I like this late 50s retro idea, which stemmed really from when I read it. I was starting to see the room. Then I was starting to see this shadowy figure moving through the room. By the fourth page, I was seeing the back of Nick Cage's head. Then by the time I got to the end, I was thinking, I wonder if Nick's available. And by now, I'd got a fix in my head on a ranch house style room with a stone fireplace in the middle. And that's what we looked for.
Have you snuck into any of the screenings to watch the reaction in the audience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you do previews, you sit through the screenings because you don't wait for the figures at the end. You sit amongst the audience, and you can feel it. You can feel the ebb and flow, if you like, of their reaction, emotions on anything. In this instance, you know, it's very important. It's a bit like telling a funny joke. Then you tell the joke again, it's no longer funny. So by the time you've finished editing, you're beginning to wonder if you have a comedy at all. And that's why when you're hitting an audience fresh and you're getting a room full, then it becomes infectious.
Ridley Scott, thank you so much for speaking with us. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Ridley Scott, his new film is called Matchstick Men. It opens in theaters tomorrow.